I love you that.
Okay, we're on page 1222, top line. Last time we learned all about Pesach. Now the pasuk says like this: Shiva Shavuos Tisperloch. Page 1022 on top. 7 weeks you should count for yourself. This is obvious, as we know the mitzvah of counting the Omer. But the pasuk says like this: Shiva Shavuos Tisperloch. You should count for yourself 7 weeks. Mehachel Chemesh Bakoma. When the first sickle, meaning you first harvest the grain, Tochel Lisper Shiva Shavuos, you should begin counting 7 weeks. So this is the mitzvah, basically, of counting the Omer. Count, do we count, you know, between Pesach and Shavuos? And the Torah says, when do you start cutting it? From when you begin cutting the Korban Omer, which is on the first day of Pesach. Therefore, Mimochas HaShabbos, like we say in the other Psukim, we begin counting the Omer on the second day of Pesach. We count 49 days. And as the Torah is going to say, we get to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay? So the Torah says, Shiva Shavuos Tisperloch, you need to count 7 weeks. The Mefarshim also ask, why does it say again, Tochel Lisper Shiva Shavuos, you should begin counting again 7 weeks? What's the double expression? And they say, because there's two aspects of the counting. We'll get into this whole thing soon.
And explain the whole Omer.
The significance of it?
Yeah.
I'll explain to you why. That's what we're going to get into.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There is a time the Jews left Egypt. The Torah says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush, what is the purpose of the Jews going out of Egypt to become a nation? When you take the nation out of Egypt, Tavdun esolikim al horaza, you're going to serve God on this mountain. So Pesach was actually the preparation for the receiving of the Torah. And in fact, it's interesting, the Yom Tov is called Shavuos. Why is it called Shavuos? Simply means because you count 7 weeks. It's the festival of weeks. Shiva Shavuos, and then you have... But there's... The Mefarshim say a very interesting thing. Why is it called Shavuos? Shavuos also means a vow. Shavuos means vow. Shavuos, plural, means vows.
Swearing.
Well, not swearing, vows.
No.
Swearing. I understand, but there's, in English, there's vows and... No, it means like this. Shavuos is the wedding between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jews. So the Jews, it's called the wedding vows. The Chosin makes the wedding vows to the Kala, and the Kala makes the wedding vows to the Chosin. So the reason, the Tor Verdekis, from the earlier codifiers, commentaries, says, why is it called Shavuos? Because it's the time the Jews, Hashem swore to the Jews that we're going to be his nation, and the Jews swore to God that he's going to be our God. Now, so coming back to the point, is like this. Pesach is a preparation for Shavuos. The ultimate climax of the Jewish people becoming the nation of God was Matan Torah. But when you want to make a shidduch, a match between high and low, upper and lower, heaven and earth, okay, it could happen in one of three ways. Either heaven comes down to earth, or earth goes up to heaven, or they meet midway. You want to join two things together. Either A can go to B, B goes to A, or they meet midway. Each one has an advantage over the next. Each one of these ways has an advantage over the next. Now, on Pesach, the Yom Tov of Pesach was the time, as the Pasuk says, we say it in the Haggadah, Nigla Lehem Melech Malchei Hamlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God revealed himself to the Jewish people. It was a total revelation from above. And that revelation from above stimulated the Jews to become his nation. The Jews were not, as it says, they were naked from mitzvahs. We say this in the Haggadah. They had no mitzvahs. They had nothing. There was a revelation of God. And therefore, the month of Nisan comes the word Nes, which means miracle, which is basically a revelation of godliness. But on Pesach, because there's this revelation of godliness and the Jews ran out of Egypt, what happened was that was only affecting the godly soul. It was only affecting the godly soul. God revealed himself. Who felt the revelation? The godly soul feels the revelation of God. The animal soul, which is an animal, has no understanding of God.
Animal?
Huh? What? Animal soul. Animal soul has no understanding of godliness. The ultimate goal is not that the godly soul should serve God. For that, the soul could have stayed up in heaven, never come down into a body, stayed up there basking godliness in paradise in Gan Eden, and finished. What does God want? God wants that the body and the animal soul that have all these animalistic temptations, they should also be connected to Hashem. Now, Pesach is the initial push from God. The revelation of godliness, the going out of Egypt, was an initial spark from above to get the Jews going. The ultimate goal, though, is that the animal soul and the body also become connected to God. That's the goal. Not that the godly soul is a part of God, of course it's connected to Hashem. What it wants is that the animal soul should be, that's why the soul comes into the body, to influence the animal soul and the body to become holy. So therefore, it's interesting, the Korban Omer that was brought, we discussed this many times when we were learning various dinim, all the flour offerings in the Beis HaMikdash were made out of wheat, except two. The Saita, the husband that accused the wife of committing adultery, she had to bring a flour offering, that was from barley. Barley. Also, barley, only the unique was the Korban Omer. The flour offering of the Korban Omer that they brought on the first day of Pesach, that also had to be from barley. So it's explained, why does the Saita, the woman who is accused of committing adultery, why does she bring a Korban from barley? Because the Gemara says, she acted like an animal, so you bring the food of an animal. The Gemara says, wheat is human food, barley is animal food. That's what Gemara says. Sa'eda, Michael Adam, Chita, Michael Adam, Sa'eda, wheat, barley, Michael Behema. In the old days, people eat it today, but a bunch of animals anyway. People eat, is wheat is human food, barley is animal food. So the Gemara says, the Saita, because she acted like an animal and committing adultery, so therefore her sacrifice is from barley, which is animal food. But why is the Korban Omer also from barley? So it's explained in Chassidus like this. The 7 weeks between Pesach and Shavuos is the working and the transformation of the animal soul to God. And therefore, we know there's 7 emotional midas of holiness of the godly soul. There's 7 animalistic emotions of the animal soul. And each one is composed of 7. Like we say in Tzvir Seimer, Chesed Shebechesed, Gvur Shebechesed, Tepher Shebechesed, they're all mixed, composed of one another. So the 49 days represents the 7 Midas, each one composed of 7. So what's the Avoida of the Tzvir Seimer? Shiva Shavuos, Tisper Loch. It's interesting. Tisper means to count, but it also means to shine, sapphire, sapir. Hashemayim is saprim. Sapir means to talk, to reveal, to shine.
To glow.
So tispa means to count, but it also means to glow. So what does it mean? Shiva Shavuos tispa lach means the whole avodah of Sfiras HaOmer is for a Jew to work with the animal soul to refine each one of the attributes completely of the animal soul, in a way that even the animal soul prepares itself for Shavuos. And therefore, the Korban of the Omer was made out of barley, which is animal food, not because there's something wrong with it, but because the work of Sfiras HaOmer is to illuminate and to shine with godliness the animal soul. The godly soul anyway shines, it's a part of Hashem. The animal soul, the Yetzer Hara, the Nefesh HaBamis, the body, whatever it is, has to shine. And this is the whole concept of the 7 weeks. Shiva Shavuos, Tisperloch. You should count. What does it mean, count? It means to shine. But like we said, what's the uniqueness of counting? The uniqueness of counting is, in Halacha, something which is counted, the Gemara says, Dava Shebeminyan, Loi Batel. Something counted never becomes nullified. Because by counting it, you make it important. And if it's important, it never becomes nullified. So the whole mitzvah, by the way, it's a very interesting mitzvah. The whole mitzvah of counting the Emet that the Torah says here, Shiva Shavuos Tisperloch, what's the mitzvah? Counting time. Counting time. What does it mean, counting time? What do you mean, counting time? Time goes whether we count it or not. So what do you mean, counting time? 7 weeks goes by whether we're aware of it or not. Counting time means we make time important. Every minute is important. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Lemnais Yameinu Kein Hoida. Okay, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Hidam Tashem, teach me how to count my days. Lemnais Yameinu, to count our days, Kein Hoida, let teach us how to do it. What's David say? David HaMelech saying? A Jew has to know that the soul in the body is here for X amount of time.
Limited.
120 years. There's no extra, there's no short. You're here for the exact amount of time. You're given a mission. In order to accomplish the mission, you need to make time important. If you kill time, you're killing life, because that's what life is. Life is time. So therefore, the whole concept of counting the Omer is actually illuminating and shining into the animal soul, the Yetzer Hara, the body of the person, that it should also be attached to Hashem. So Pesach is really the revelation of God coming to the Jewish people, coming down. 7 weeks of Omer is the Jew elevating themselves to God. Every day you elevate another attribute. And then Shavuos, which is interesting, which is in the third month, and the third day, and the third, because three is the combination of one and two. So Pesach is God coming down to us, heaven coming down to earth. Sfiras HaOmer is earth going up to heaven. And then when you have that, then you have the meeting of both together, and you have the ultimate level of connection. And that's the Yom Tov Shavuos. And that's why this whole thing is called Shavuos, because somebody can ask a question, how in the world do we have the ability to change our animal soul, our Yetzer Hara, our body? How do we have the ability to transform an animal to holiness? And that's another reason why it's called Shavuos. Shavuos, Sheva, which is the root, Shin Bezayin, has three meanings. It means seven. It means Shavua, an oath. And it also means V'achalta v'savata uveirachta, to become full. So what does it mean, Shiva Shavuos? Like the first page of Tanya, Mashbi and Eisei, the Neshama is given a vow to be a tzaddik and not a rasha, the Gemara says. So it's explained, what's the vow? So the vow is, Masbiyan Aisi, God gives the strength and the ability that the person could be a tzaddik. It's from the help of Hashem. So the Shiva Shavuos means God is giving us the strength and the ability by revealing Himself on Pesach, that for the 7 weeks we have the ability to refine the 7 midos of evil, the 7 attributes of evil, and then we come to the Yom Tov Shavuos.
Why the first God act and then react?
Because if without God giving us the strength, we can't do it. Where are we going to take our animal soul and make it good? The only way it works.
You have our saving proved, then he help us. If you, we don't do
Yeah, but God needs to give us the little push from the beginning. Yet when you teach a kid, you give them a help at the beginning, and then they do it on their own. But they need the help from the beginning.
Also,
what?
How about like in Tishrei? Isn't that also a similar concept that we're supposed to also do our tshuva and go up to Hashem, and then Hashem?
Yeah.
Hashem
Nisan and Tishrei.
Mm-hmm.
Nisan is a revelation from above. Tishrei is Aleph Beis backwards, Tav Shin Reish. Mean going tshuva, mumata lemal. But you have that and much more time during the year also. You have the Pesach and Shavuos. The two main parts of the year are Pesach and Nisan. I mean Nisan and Tishrei. Those are the two. Tishrei is the first month of the year. Nisan is the first month, right? So you have Nisan and Tishrei. Also the Aveda of Nisan is the revelation of God, Nes. And Tishrei is the Aveda of the Jew tshuva from below to higher. But where does the Jew get the ability to do tshuva? How all of a sudden do you change your nature completely and become one with Hashem? That's because of the tshuva coming from Hashem, the revelation coming from Hashem.
But
I'll give you an example. It's not an example, it's an explanation really. There's an argument when the Mashiach coming. Nisan or Tishrei. Between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Okay? They argue, b'chal, when the world was created, when the others were born, when everything's happening. Okay? So, one opinion says, b'nissen nigalu, u'b'nissen asid nigol. The gula was in Nissen, and therefore, Pesach happened in Nissen, Mashiach's coming in Nissen. The other opinion says, no, Mashiach's coming in Tishrei. What's the halacha? The halacha is that Mashiach's coming in Nissen. Okay, b'nissen nigalu, yet, the Rambam says, Yisrael eisen tshuva, u'miyad hei nigolin. The Jews are going to do tshuva and then they're going to be immediately redeemed. Now that doesn't make sense. Tshuva is Tishrei. Mashiach's coming is Nisan. How can tshuva bring Mashiach if this is Nisan, this is Tishrei? Alright. So.
I thought Mashiach is coming.
So the Rebbe explains. Every word is $100. You better watch it. So the Rebbe explains. Who gives the Jews the koyach to do tshuva nissen? So in other words, they're both interconnected. Who gives the Jew the ability to do tshuva? To be able to do mitzvahs? Is the fact that Hashem gives the koyach from above. That's the avodah of nissen. It's not necessarily the month. The concept of nissen is the revelation from above. Tishrei is the level of tshuva. So therefore, Nisan versus even Sfiras HaEmer, the animal food, Nisan is the revelation from above, Sfiras HaEmer is the Aved of the Jew refining the 7 meters. Then you come to the Yom Tov Shavuos. What?
We do Tshuva and Elul. That's not the same thing as like the Omer refining your animal soul, right? Like with the Sfira.
It is to a certain extent, but a little bit different. The general concept is the same, yes. Tshuva is mumata lamaila.
So why don't we count anything during Elul? Why don't we count the days of Elul? We do, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't,
because the preparation for Matan Torah is the counting of the days. Everything has its place and time. Pesach is not only Pesach. Pesach is a whole year. Right? It's Yitzhak Mitzrayim a whole year. Matan Torah is a whole year. Sukkot is a whole year. Rosh Hashanah is a whole year. Sfiras HaEmer is a whole year. You don't only count day. Every day you're supposed to count. But where do you see it openly? In the preparation to Matan Torah. So Nisan was the connection of bringing heaven to earth. Hashem revealing himself. Sfiras HaEmer is the elevation of the people at earth going up to heaven. And then you have Shavuos, which is a combination of them both together.
Actually.
What?
Elevating the animal entity in us.
Yeah. It's unique to Jews as far as elevating it. The role of a non-Jew is to civilize it.
So if so, and we are to be, I guess, the Orla Goyim, but then almost 2/3 of humanity was never in touch with Jews.
Right. but when you put light anywhere, the whole area becomes lit up. But that's why in Golus, the Jews are spread all over the world.
Yeah, we're not though. I mean, you have
I'm saying in Golus now, in this Golus, the Jews are spread all over the world before Mashiach. Chabad and Coca-Cola. All over the world. What?
Pesach is the chesed, the other one is gevurot.
Right, because chesed is coming down and gevurot is going up. That's that same concept, yeah. Same thing.
But when we got the Torah, the Hashem's coming down. It's not going
up. Yeah, but Valmesha Amar, Aleo Alekim. What did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Right by Matan Torah, you go up. Where was Moshe Rabbeinu by Matan Torah? On the mountain. See, he had the earth, he represented the Jews, went up, and God came down. That was that unity.
So Tisha B'Av was not the time for
Moshe? Tisha B'Av? Yeah, it's also not, now that it's over, it's very good.
When did it come?
But the fast is over, that's the main thing.
What is the seven animal ruach?
We have love, fear, but love of evil, fear of evil, you know, all those the seven meters. There's books already explaining every day is fierce aimer, what you're supposed to work on that day, yeah.
If I could subscribe to Chabad.
Now, another interesting thing, it says, we say in davening, Atzas Hashem, he tamed. Rabbis Machshov is Blevish, Atzas Hashem, he tzokum. Yeah? Simply means there are many thoughts in the mind of people. Atzas Hashem, Yisokum. And the Eitz of Hashem, that's what lasts. Okay? So it says that Atzas, Ayin, Tzadik, Sof, stands for three things. Omer, Tzitzis, and Tefillin. It says when you put on Talis, you're supposed to stand. When you count the Omer, you're supposed to stand. And when you put on Tefillin, especially the Shirosh, you're supposed to stand. And they learn it out like this. Bakoma is also the word Bakoma. Koma means to stand. So the Gemara learns out, the Gemara brings on this pasuk. Sheva shavuos tispalach bakoma tachalispa, meaning standing, but the evidence says in Allah that you're yaitzi even if you sat. But you're supposed to chatchila stand because it says bakoma. Okay, so you begin counting the 7 days. What is that? The refining of the animal soul. Vasisa chag shavuos lashem alakecha. You should make the Yom Tov of Shavuos to Hashem. Misas nidvas yotcho asher titein, the voluntary offerings that you should give k'sheyevarecho Hashem alakecha, the way God will bless you. Okay? So it says, when it comes Shavuos, you have to bring the various gifts and the korban, the bikurim. There's a lot of things that a Jew brings when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now, some people say, Misas literally means the voluntary offerings. But Misas, some people say, it actually elevates you. Misas means Ram v'nisnase, to elevate the person. When a person gives tzedakah, the person gives other things, he becomes elevated. So it's a much greater level. Kashay v'recho Hashem alakecho, let God will bless you. V'samachto lefnei Hashem alakecho, you have to rejoice before God, and it says who? Listen to this. Ata uvincha uvitecha va'avducha v'amasecha. You, and who else? Four other people. Your son and daughter, your servant and your maidservant. And then it says like this. Va'alevi, asher b'sharachet, you have to give the levi. Va'ager, va'ayotzen va'amana, the convert, the orphan and the widow, asher b'kibachot. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says a very interesting thing over here. And I believe, yeah, Rashi quoted from the Medrash Tanchuma. God says, listen, there are four people that are mine, and there are four people that are yours. To you, God says like this, you have your son, daughter, servant, and maidservant. So God says, and I have four people, the Levi, the Ger, the Yosim, and the Almana. So Hashem says, you take care of my people, I'll take care of your people. That's what Rashi says.
What was Ger?
From the Medrash. Ger means a convent, because a convent has no family.
Levi?
It says in the pasuk, Levi, Ger, Yosem Amana, the orphan and widow, the Ger, the stranger, and the Levi, because Levi and Levium were broke. The Kohenim had a lot of meat and money, and Levium had barely nothing. So Hashem says, you take care of mine, then I'll take care of yours. You glad my four, I'll gladden your four. Which is a very interesting concept, by the way. If you stop to think for a minute, Hashem says to the Jews, I will do what you do. And as, when you do a job, I'll react. You take care of my four, I'll take care of your four.
It's not related.
Huh?
It's not related.
It is related. It's Why isn't it related?
The widow, I was related to my son and my daughter. The widow also. It's not related.
It doesn't matter. These are your responsibilities. Yeah. These are God's responsibilities.
So
these are God's children.
So if I do my son, I would not do, it's not affecting God to the widow or not.
No, but God says, if you don't take care of the widow and the orphan, I'm not going to take care of your son and daughter.
Oh, the reverse one. Yeah,
yeah, that's...
The widow represents something Kabbalistically spiritually supporting that, or Hashem is supposed to be something supporting something.
Hashem is Aviya Seyman V'dayin Almonis. God is the father of orphans and the protector of widows. So these are God's responsibilities, so to speak. So Hashem says, you take care of my people, I'll take care of your people.
You should say, you take care of my people, I take care of your people.
That's what it says. If you want me to take care of your people, then, Halevi, then you take care of them. B'amokim asher yivchar Hashem elokecha, where? In the place where Hashem commanded you, l'shaken shmei sham, that where God chose to rest his name, meaning in the base of Mikdash. Okay, now, v'zacharta, we have to learn the next psukim also to understand the difference between Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There's a lot of interesting differences over here. V'zacharta, you should remember, Ki eved ayisa b'mitzrayim, that you were a slave in Mitzrayim. Meaning, what does it mean? God says, I took you out of Egypt, that you should keep these mitzvahs. And that's why, like, what's the pasuk saying? Remember that you were a slave in Egypt. Who cares? I mean, what does that have to do with this? God is telling the Jewish people, I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of Egypt on this condition. If you take care of the mitzvah, Sefer Sa'emer, and Shavuos, and you do all those mitzvahs, then Hashem says, I will take care of you. Then, v'shamarta, so, okay, now.
If we do mitzvah, God get happy. Why did God get happy?
I'll tell you why. Number one, Hashem says like this, when you take care of the Eved, and the maidservants, then at least you're the Ebenezerites, and you're remembering that you're in Egypt as a slave. When you remember, you know, somebody that was poor, okay, has a better understanding of the need that poor people have. Somebody's always rich, they don't have an understanding of what it is. So the Torah says, listen, you were Avadim in Egypt, you know what it means to be a slave. So therefore I'm telling you, you understand better, so go take care of the slaves, go take care of the poor people. That's one thing. Another thing he says, if you remember that the reason why Hashem took you out of Egypt is to do these mitzvahs, and otherwise you'd be still be in Egypt, then it's not a burden anymore. When is it a burden? When you don't want to do it. But if you remember, God says, listen, I took you out of it. This is the condition I took you out of Egypt. Otherwise you'd still be a slave in Egypt. Hashem says, this is what you're going to remember. This is what you're going to do. And therefore, when you do it, you'll be doing it much better, in a much greater way. That's what he's saying.
Hashem need to be happy to the Mitzvah?
No, it doesn't say Hashem's happy.
No, they say
No, v'samachta, you should be happy.
You say, you put the condition.
Let me ask you a very simple question. When a child is happy, the parents happy?
Yes.
Why?
Because related together.
God says, you're happy, I'm happy. We're God's kids.
But the condition of God is different with the Father's. It's not the same.
Yeah, God knows what He's doing,
God,
and we don't.
God, no, that God.
That's
God
the difference.
God always is in control. He'd be happy anything you want it. He doesn't have the feeling to be happy, like a dad.
It's not true.
Why is that true? God has feeling?
1 minute. Not you. You're a tzaddik. No, I sin. Yeah. Is God in control when I sin?
Sometimes yes.
What do you mean sometimes yes?
Sometimes if God doesn't want I sin, I don't sin.
Okay. Why does God allow me to sin? Because God says, I want you to be in control of your own actions. Because if I control you, then you're a robot. You're not a person. And Hashem says, I don't want you to be a robot. I want you to be a person.
Actually, we are formally, you are not robot. That is robot. We are robot.
Yeah. Oh. In everything, in everything that's not true.
Yeah.
In everything, we're robots. Everything is divine providence, yeah. Except... Everything, Kol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mira Shemayim. Everything is in the hand of God, except the fear of God. Now,
that's so.
The point is, Hashem says, when you do a mitzvah, you need to understand that I made a condition when I took you out of Egypt that this is what you should be doing. So therefore, don't look at it as a burden. A mitzvah should not be a burden. A mitzvah should be a sign of freedom. And if you take it a little bit deeper, Hashem says over here like this. Like Rashi says, from the Gemara, Amenaz came pedesicha. I redeemed you, meaning I made you free that you should do mitzvahs. Now, we learned this many times before, but let me just say it very briefly now. From a humanistic approach, religious Judaism is slavery.
Yeah.
If you think about it, Torah controls from the second I wake up in the morning. I open my eyes, Torah says, okay, you got to do this. Say, Moda Ani, go wash your hands. The whole day. You go to business, Torah says, this is the way you do business. You go to the bathroom, Torah says, this is the way you do the bathroom. You want to eat, Torah says, this is the way you eat. You do business. You go to, and Torah says how to go to sleep at night.
Why call it slavery?
Slavery.
Slavery.
Fascist.
If you think about it, this religion of ours, which is not a religion, by the way, it's a way of life. Religion is an incorrect word for it. This religion, if you take it from a secular point of view, a non-religious Jew looking at the mitzvahs, this is a very controlling, enslaved type of a life. I have no freedom.
We are robot.
Right.
Oppressive.
I have no freedom. I can't eat what I want. I can't think what I want. I can't say what I want. I can't do what I want. This is slavery.
Whenever I want, however I want.
Yeah, you have to do this when I tell you, and this. Okay. Everybody understand. I don't elaborate on it. Now. That is the most furthest thing from the truth. The Mishnah says, and the Mishnah wasn't stupid people, they're brilliant people. Mishnah says a statement in Pirkei Avos. Ein loch ben chayrin, there is no free person. Ela misha esek b'tayra, only a person who keeps Tayra. The Mishnah says a statement. The ein loch ben chayrin ela, the double means, there is no freedom. You be quiet. It's going to cost you money. There's no freedom unless you're 100% keeping mitzvahs. Why is that? So we discussed it many, many times before. But such basic fundamental things that bring knocking into our heads until we get it. The answer is very simple. The definition, the difference between freedom and slavery is freedom is I'm in control. Slavery is something else controls me. Okay? If you go home at night and lock your door, you're not in jail. You lock the door, you could unlock your door. So therefore, even though you're locked behind a room, it's not called jail because You close it, you can open it. If somebody else locks the door and has the key, then you're in jail. Why? Because they control you. You're not controlling me. I can go into the house and go out of the house. I'm in control. That's the definition of freedom. Golus, exile, slavery, is when somebody else controls you. That's the simple meaning of it. Now, as much as we want to deny it, but we as people are controlled completely by everything else. We are controlled by society. The way we dress is because this is what the designers or the society decided we need to wear. What we eat is decided not by us, by everybody else. This is what you eat, this is what the restaurant serves, this is what you do. Even somebody who is an intellectual, it's very interesting, even a person's intellectual and says, I am controlled by my mind, yeah, that's also a slave. You are a slave to your brain. Your brain is not you. You are not your brain. Whether a parent loves a child, whether the kid is brilliant or foolish, yeah? A parent loves the kid anyway. The person is not the brain. You're not less person if you're not, a million IQ. And you're not less person if you're zero IQ. Right? A person's a person. If I'm controlled by my brain, that means something else is controlling me. Most of the time, by the way, we're controlled by our heart. I want this. I want to eat it. I want to say it. I want to do it. I want to go there. So who's controlled? My heart is not me. My desires are not me. I could change my desires. That means I become a different person? No. So most of the world, by the way, in fact, 99.9% of the world is dictated and controlled by sports, by media, by politics, by social events. We are controlled completely by everything else. Even if I have a desire to do something, okay? So that's not me. That's my heart. It's controlling me. My mind is controlling me. That's not me, though. What is the real free person? A person who controls themselves. Now, who is me? Who is me? There's a famous story when the Tzemach Tzedek was a little boy. He sat on the Alter Rebbe's lap. His mother died. His mother gave up her life for her father, the Alter Rebbe, and the Alter Rebbe raised the kid. He's sitting on his grandfather's lap, a little kid, and he touched his grandfather's beard, and he said, Zayda, you know, Grandpa, Zayda. So the Alter Rebbe said, that's not the Zayda, that's the Zayda's beard. So he touched his nose and said, Zayda. See, the Alter Rebbe said, Zayda, that's not the Zayda, it's the Zayda's nose and the eye, whatever he touched. The Alter Rebbe said, it's not the Zayda, it's the Zayda's hand, Zayda's foot, whatever it was. So he was a very smart child. He went off the Alter Rebbe's lap and he went to the back of the room. Meanwhile, the Alter Rebbe didn't waste time, so he got busy learning, writing, whatever. So he was looking down. A few minutes later, the kid screamed out from the back of the room, Zayda! And the Alter Rebbe picked us up. He picked up his head and said, yeah. He said, that's the Zayda. In other words, the person, who is the person? Is it my head? No. Is it my foot? No. Is it my heart? No. My life, my soul, my neshama, that is me. That is me. My soul, my life, my existence, that's me. That's not, it's not my life. It is me. Life is me. My existence is me. So therefore, if the neshama, which is a part of God, because it's a part of God, wants to do mitzvahs, so who's controlling me in that case? My soul, which is me, is in charge. I'm in charge. It's not my desires, it's not my intellect, it's not my friends, it's not my neighbors, it's not my society, it's not my culture, it's not the media, it's not politics.
What about the wife?
That's you. That's you.
Part of you.
So, what is the person's freedom? The Mishnah says, you want to know what freedom is? Freedom is when you are in control of yourself. Meaning, when your soul, you, does what it really wants to do. Not your temptations, not your intellect, not your neighbors, not society, not anything, but you.
But it's so hard to divorce yourself from this acquired external knowledge.
That's what the Avoida of Sfiras Ha'imer is. Okay?
Seven.
We always have in Shema, Avodas Hashem, Ula Avdai, to serve Hashem, right? Serving God is the word Eved. Okay? Serving somebody, literally, is when I don't want to do it, then I do it. If I enjoy doing it, I'm not serving you, I enjoy doing it. I'm doing it for me, not for you, because I like doing it. Right? We said this the other day. That's, if a woman loves to cook, she'll never say, I slaved in the kitchen. What do you mean slave? She enjoyed it. What do you mean slave in the kitchen?
You said this morning.
I said, if you hate cooking and you cook, then you say, I'm slaving in the kitchen. Right? If a person enjoys learning or studying, they're not slave, they're enjoying it. Why does the Torah always use the word Ki eved ha'yisa, ula avdai, eved, be'tzir ha'sam mitzvah, like we said, tavdun esalikim, you're gonna serve God, eved, eved, eved. What's with eved? Because the only way a finite person can reach infinite God is when you break your nature. If I do it with my nature, that is limitation, that's me. If I enjoy it, that's me. It's natural, it's limited, it's finite. When I do something I don't want to do, then what I'm actually doing is I'm breaking my nature, going out of Egypt, Mitzrayim, like we said, Mitzar boundaries, and then the person actually reaches the infinite. So God says, I want you, ula avdai, to serve me in a way of an eved. So God's saying, b'chal, about mitzvahs. Always, by all mitzvahs, the Torah always connects it to Yetzias Mitzrayim somehow. You know, I took you out of Egypt. What does God want? God says, instead of serving, being a slave to Pharaoh, Hashem says, I want you to be a slave to me. What do you mean? God needs, God needs their work. He could do a better job himself. God says, because I love you so much, when you become a slave, meaning you go above and beyond your nature, because even if you enjoy doing something, right? But after a while, it gets to a point, okay, that's it. We're drawing the limit. Right? And that's when the real work of God begins. When you do it above and beyond your nature, that means you can learn 15 hours a day, but if that's your nature, you're not serving God, because the Gemara says, because that's what you enjoy, it's still limited. You can't reach the infinite God unless if you are a slave, meaning a slave, that you do something you don't want to do. And that's why Hashem emphasizes, the reason I took you out of Egypt, which was the slavery to Paray, and making you to become slavery, meaning to become one with the infinite God.
Because you don't want to do it, but it says, if to Hashem is simcha.
So, think about it. Isn't that a paradox?
Yeah.
If do besimcha. Eved means it's a slavery. I don't like it. And yet that has to be the simcha. What's the simcha? The simcha is, by knowing that by doing what I don't want, I'm accomplishing a tremendous amount. And therefore, it's easier then to do what I don't want, because if I realize what I accomplish, that causes me to be happy. Does anybody like carrying heavy loads? No. But if the heavy loads are diamonds and you can keep them, then you enjoy it. It doesn't mean it's not a heavy load. It's a heavy load. But you're excited about it because look what you're gaining by it versus schlepping heavy pieces of metal. That's where the simcha comes in. So it's not a contradiction. It's ivdu es Hashem besimcha, because by being eved to Hashem, the slavery of Hashem, that's the way you come to real joy, because then you realize, and also, you know what the uniqueness about simcha? The Gemara uses the expression, simcha parades geder. Simcha breaks barriers. What does that mean? You know, when a person is very excited and happy, they do crazy things that they normally wouldn't be caught dead doing. Right?
You're more powerful.
Why? Because simcha is so powerful. It breaks barriers. Why in the Hasidic tradition, I mean, Rabbi Amar says in Tilm, if there's Hashem besimcha, you have to serve God with joy, yeah? But why is it such a fundamental thing in the Hasidic philosophy? Because simcha breaks the barriers of the limited human, when you use it for the sake of serving God, then you reach the infinite. And therefore, ivdu, to break barriers and to reach the infinite, is really one thing. It's not a paradox. It's not opposite. On the contrary, eved, breaking your nature, and simcha, both breaking natures. And then you reach the infinite God. That's the joy that a person has. If a guy wins $1 million lottery, yeah, the person's happy, right? But if you think about it, $1 million is only $1 million times 1. It's limited. It's only $1 million times $1. But when you win the lottery that you connect yourself to the infinite God, that's not a limited accomplishment. It's an unlimited accomplishment. So of course the joy is greater. Okay.